We
are.
We
are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
Latoya Ammons moved into a new rental property in Gary, Indiana in 2011 with her mother and her three children. But they would soon begin to experience a number of bizarre and unsettling incidents. The family would first notice an unusual abundance of black flies, and soon after, they would hear footsteps, see wet footprints, and catch glimpses of a figure lurking in the shadows. Her children would also speak in unusual deep voices, walked on the ceiling, and levitated over their beds throughout the next 7 months. The purported hauntings, which some people have said were caused by a demonic possession, became so severe that Latoya Ammons had to undergo an exorcism, lost custody of her children, and would leave the house entirely. This is the case of the Ammons family and the quote demon house of Gary, Indiana. Hello, ghoul friends and spook daddies. It's Dom.
And Amy.
And welcome to this week's episode of Horror House. The 101st.
I've
had a brain freeze. It's the 101st. That's the one. Thank you.
The 101.
Thank you, Amy. The 101st. It's the 101st episode. of Horror House. It's still pretty insane that we are now over 100 episodes. It's still a bit mind-blowing. But as always, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. We know that there are many podcasts that you can listen to. So thank you for choosing ours. We always appreciate it. Amy, how are you today, my lovely?
I'm very well, thank you. And you're right, there are a lot of other episodes that you can listen to, but they're all pretty shit. So we're really glad that you're here.
We are the third best podcast in the world, according to Tuchik. So
yeah, but he's we're doing all right. So just ignore him. No, I'm very good. I'm having a lovely week, but it's only Tuesday. But the rest of it's been okay. It's been pretty good. I was just in Scotland for the weekend, so that was nice. I haven't really got much else going on in my life, to be honest.
It looked very nice. I saw some of your stories of your dog walks and the views. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that's where my parents live.
Like, they were gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
It's very pretty. It's a very pretty country.
I was quite jealous.
Granted, I'm a bit biased. But it's a very nice place to be, and there was lots of lovely walks, and yeah, it was very good. It was very much needed. I had to celebrate Zombie Jesus Day somehow, and that's how I chose to do it.
That is true. Have you eaten all your chocolate? It would be not a very good thing for you to have chocolate.
No.
So scratch that.
I got a lot of Haribo. I got a lot of Haribo for Easter, which doesn't kill me internally, so I've eaten a lot of that instead. I had roast lamb on Sunday. That was predictable but really good nonetheless. So
very nice.
It was good. The only part I was allowed to do was cutting the meat off the bone, and to quote my mum, she said that's the bit that you'd be good at. So and she wasn't wrong. I am very good at it. I was like, I'll do that. That's no problem.
I would be like, one for me, one for the tape, one for me, one for the tape.
There's something very, like human thigh-ish about a lamb, a leg of lamb. Not that I've ever cut the meat off a human thigh, but I can imagine that that's how it would be.
What an apt comparison to make.
Yeah, I think so. I think next time someone like carves a leg of lamb, one of our listeners is just, carving that up, they're going to be like, for fuck's sake, Amy, why did you have to say that? But it's true. It's very similar.
So, Amy, do you have any news in the true crime world for me and the listeners this week?
I don't know why I'm doing hand movements that, you know, the
are you
Spotify
manifesting
people can't
this
see.
News? Like, I don't know
but
what
yes,
doing.
Yes, I do have true crime news. I have two pieces of true crime news. In fact, they're both going to be pretty short, but I thought they'd be worth mm-hmm. having a chat about because they're two very, what's a good way to put it? I guess Netflix famous, not necessarily Netflix.
Okay.
Streaming service famous people. The first being about Alex Murdoch, who killed, I'm sure you know from the Netflix documentary, the Murdoch murders, killed his wife and son in 2021. He was sentenced to life for both of those and found guilty, but he's now been sentenced for the financial crimes that he committed, you know, alongside that and afterwards. And basically there's a shit ton of them. So, you know, a lot of financial crimes.
Oh, Alex.
And he was given an extra 40 years on top of his sentence for his financial crimes. So as well as serving life for the murder of his two family members, he's also going to got just an extra, just a little sprinkling
just a little
of
extra 40.
Yeah. Just a few extra years, nothing major.
Yeah.
I've got a quote from him. And this is specifically about the financial crimes, of which I don't know if you remember, but his housekeeper, Gloria, was his family. Oh, yeah. He told her family, sorry. He told them to sue him so that, you know, they would get some money, and they got wrapped up in a financial scandal as well. And he said, quote, "I do want you to know, and all of the victims to know, I am filled with sorrow. I am filled with remorse. I am filled with guilt." Well, I'm sure you are, but that doesn't really help, does it?
I don't even
really
believe
do
that
much
he is.
Any of that. It's just a bit meh. That,
yeah.
Cool. What am I supposed to do with that? Spend it?
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like nothing more than a hollow statement of, oh, if I'm so sorry, maybe it would get me in good graces or gooder graces.
Yeah.
Oh, Alex.
But nonetheless, he's a very, very young man. So he's got an extra 40 years to add to his already pretty long sentence.
Yeah. Do we think that it's fair to say now that Alex definitely won't be leaving prison? Not that he was going to leave anyway, but now he really won't be.
I'm going to guess that he won't be leaving prison. You know, I might be wrong.
He's in for
the
long haul.
He might surprise all of us, but I think he's probably going to be in for quite a long time. So that's my first piece of true crime news. Just a little bit of added extra time for not in the football sense, but in the prison sense, for Alex Murdoch. And the other thing, which I don't know about you, Dom, but I have been pretty hooked on news about this person since they got out of prison. And that's Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Yes.
So
yeah,
she obviously
keeping,
you know. If you don't know the story, she lived with her mother, was convinced by her mother that she was ill pretty much her entire life, Munchausen's by proxy. She then met a guy, Nick Goudajon, online, and convinced him to kill her mother for her so that she could escape her clutches, basically, which he then did. She went to jail for what I believe was 10 years. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think it was
and got out early this year. So she's been out and about, and I've been pretty much following her obsessively, you might say, on social media and whatnot, because she's been very big and active on that. She got married while she was in prison to a guy that she had met while she was in there, whose name I have completely forgotten. Ryan Anderson was his name. And she obviously came out and was spending time with him, starting life with him. They bought a puppy, really cute little puppy. She got, I think she's got something stupid, like 2 million followers on Instagram now. Fucking insane. She's written a book, she's selling the book, she's, you know, doing all of this stuff. But just 3 months after she got out and was able to start her relationship with her husband in real life, they have just announced that they are splitting up. And they're going to get a divorce, which can't say I'm civilly surprised
shocking, is it?
By.
Yeah, it's really not. It's really not.
I think she's I saw a lot of attention. So she's probably thinking, well, I've made a mistake here. But I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs, but they're getting divorced.
Yeah. And like you say, it's not surprising. I wasn't shocked when I did. I can't remember where I read it, but I read it somewhere. It might have been, I might have seen it on X or something. But it wasn't too surprising. You know, she was, you know, went to prison when she was, you know, very, very young. And she needs time to acclimatize to the outside world. And I think getting married. And, you know, coming out of prison. And I think that was sort of doomed to fail, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so. Can't imagine she's had a massive, well, when you look back at her like date in history, she's definitely not had a massive amount of experience when it comes to that kind of thing. So the only relationship she'd had was Nick Godijon, who was obviously not someone that A, was all mentally there.
Yeah.
And B, was a particularly good relationship to, you know, set as your benchmark. And then when Ryan started writing to her in prison, she was probably still of the kind of belief that no one would really want to be with her because of what she'd done and all this kind of stuff. So what I would assume would maybe happen is that she'd come out, realize that actually there's a big wide world out there and plenty of people to potentially, you know, be romantic with, and it's maybe come to an end. So, but then again, I don't know the details. It's definitely not the most surprising of breakups, I don't think.
No you know, and you know, obviously you summarized the case very well. A while back now, I did an episode on the case. Carly came on as a guest host because I think you weren't very well. So
sounds like me.
I asked, Amy was ill, was a bride. So I asked Carly to come on, and we did cover it. I can't remember what episode number it is, but if you go through our back catalogue, you will find it. So if you want to hear about the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case, then by all means listen to that episode. It's actually one of my, I don't know if favorites is the right word. It's a case that I enjoy talking about, and I enjoyed reading up on it because it's such a moral question of, you know, should she have been released from prison early? Was she given a strong enough term? You know, was she an innocent victim? You know, did she, you know, yes, she murdered or helped murder her mother, but at the same time, her mother was abusive. You know, there are so many different quirks to that case. And I think it's a really good one to dive into. But yeah, not too surprising that her marriage, unfortunately, didn't last particularly long.
No.
But, you know, I think that she, you know, she just needs to sort of, I think dating is something that she doesn't need to concern herself with at the moment.
No,
I think acclimatizing to being out of prison. Yeah,
she's actually,
yeah, exactly.
I think she's actually the same age as me, which we won't say. But, you know, it's young in terms of dating. You don't need to be like stressing about it. You can, you know, you've got time.
No, absolutely not.
I think she's probably just got a lot of world to experience, and I think that's maybe fair. But yeah, that is your true crime news for this week. Two pretty high profile true crime cases.
Absolutely.
With updates.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Ames.
My
for
pleasure.
For those little updates. So I said before we turned the mics on and hit record, the kind of case we've done for a while. I can't remember what the last paranormal case we did was.
Me neither. It's definitely been a while though, and I'm excited. It's not one I've heard of, which is good. And I love a haunting.
We do love a haunting.
I love
demonic
getting possession.
Spooked. Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It's just good. So yeah, I'm ready for this.
Absolutely. That to be fair, that might have been the last paranormal episode we did, which was about the four possessions, or the four cases of demonic possession that you covered.
I think you're right.
That might be the last one. If it is, that's a long time ago.
I can't remember if that came sooner or if the Scottish hauntings came sooner. But one of those.
Or maybe the Scottish hauntings was after.
I can't remember.
But it was either that. It's been a while. It was either the Scottish hauntings or the demonic possession.
Yeah. Both very good episodes. It's been a minute. Listen to them.
Yes. Yes. 100%. 100%. So, you said you're unfamiliar with the Ammon family haunting slash exorcism.
Mm.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay. Wonderful. So, without further ado, are you ready to get stuck into this case of spookiness? Are we ready to get spooked?
Absolutely. I'm ready to get covered in ectoplasm.
Now. Cool. So later. Let's crack on. Not when the cameras are rolling. So the Ammons family moved into a rental property on Carolina Street, which is a peaceful street in Gary, Indiana, that is surrounded with modest one-story homes. And that was in November 2011. Latoya Ammons, her mother Rosa Campbell, and her three children, who were 7, 9, and 12 respectively, would make up the family. And it wouldn't take long after the family moved into the home for things to get just a little bit strange, just a little bit weird. Despite the winter weather, big black flies would suddenly swarm the screened-in porch. No matter how many flies they would kill, the flies would always come back. Eventually, the family would start hearing the sound of footsteps that would echo throughout the house. The steady clump of footsteps climbing the basement stairs and the creak of the door opening between the basement and the kitchen were sounds that Campbell and Ammons would both report hearing after midnight on several occasions. And as the family would state, during these times, nobody was present and the noise didn't stop after they locked the door. So, some spooky stuff happening not long after the family move in. Do you reckon the ghost is like, try and lock me out the fucking, I'll rattle the door.
Yeah.
Just as an annoyance.
I know that we always end up doing this when we talk about hauntings and things like that. And we're both pretty cynical when it comes to this sort of thing. Not cynical, skeptical, I think is probably a better description. So I'm always looking for the rational explanation to these things. Then what I will start off with is say that the flies, I totally get, right? So I used to live in a flat. That flat had fireplaces that it had them in every room, but only one of them was functional. So the other two were blocked off. And one time we got a bird fly into the chimney, get stuck in, basically it couldn't get out into the flat. So it just died in the fireplace. Nothing you could do about it. It just sits there until it basically rots away. Fucking stunk. But it did produce a lot of flies. And one day I came home, walked into the flat, and the flat was covered. And I do mean covered in flies. And every time I thought I'd got rid of the fuckers, 20 more would come. And it was happening for days, like literally days. I would get rid of them. I'd hoover up all of the fucking fly dead bodies. My windowsills would be like a fly graveyard. But I thought I'd got them all and it would be another day. And then all of a sudden there'd be another swarm and like one maggot maybe had got through and there'd be fucking loads more. So I know that fly infestations are persistent and can seem like they've gone away and then keep coming back for quite a long time. So that part, bit weird, granted, and flies do have a certain like I guess they're sort of an omen to a lot of things. A lot of people think they signify death or that death is approaching and things like that. So I get why that's a bit spooky. As for the footsteps, I think that one's always, for me, a bit harder to explain because people know what footsteps sound like. But I know when I can hear footsteps. So there's not a lot of things that replicate that to the extent that you believe that that's what it is. So if there's like, you know, pipes or whatever in the house that are making that sort of repetitive noise, that one's a little bit, I'm not as ready to believe that as a rationale as I am for other things. So it's a bit weird, but so far, explain.
Throughout the episode, Amy's going to be like, so far, explainable. So far, explainable. So far, explainable.
Yeah. Until the point that it isn't, and then I'm going, oh, fuck.
Okay, this is not explainable. Neither is this. That definitely isn't.
We're all doomed. But yeah, so far, up until this point, explainable.
I'm quite quick to dismiss the sound of footsteps as a paranormal incident. I think that's quite easily explainable. You know, whether that's pipes, you know, creaking, whether that's, you know, if it's an old house, that might be the house settling, or the house moving a little bit. So yeah, I think you can kind of explain that one with not too much trouble. But
I think we're gonna have to get merch.
A fair
just the word.
Exactly.
Explainable on it.
Explainable.
But
there are many more incidences that were reported by the family. So maybe things will get a little bit harder to explain. We'll see. The family's experience would intensify when Campbell, this being LaToya's mother, Rosa, when Rosa would wake up one night and would see a dark silhouette moving around the living room, Campbell would then discover damp footprints where she believed that she had seen the lurking shadow, which I think is pretty rude from the shadow. Like, does he think it's some high-class hotel and he's just leaving damp footprints all over the floor? Like, what the fuck? What? Take your shoes off in the house. What the hell?
Public cleaning ain't free.
Are you paying rent? No. So take your fucking shoes off. So yeah, wet footprints were discovered where the shadow figure was seen. So despite these strange occurrences, LaToya Ammons and her family would try their best to adjust to life in their new home. Obviously, that's a bit difficult when you're purportedly, you know, experiencing quite a lot of strange activities. However, the occurrences wouldn't stop for the family. They would only escalate. So on March the 10th, in 2012, it was early in the morning, around 2 a.m. Campbell Ammons and her children should have been asleep by now, but they were with a group of friends grieving the loss of a loved one. Ammons, who was in her mother's bedroom, startled everyone by screaming, quote, "Mama." Campbell claimed that she ran inside her bedroom where her then 12-year-old granddaughter and a friend were staying. Ammons and Campbell would both state that the 12-year-old was levitating above the bed, entirely unconscious. Campbell would tell the Indianapolis Star, quote, "I thought, what's going on? Why is this happening?" According to their account of the events, Ammons and several others surrounded the girl, praying until she would come back down safely to the bed. Unsurprisingly, the Ammons family members would nope the fuck out of the house following this particular incident. I think if I saw someone levitating, I probably would say, yeah, I've got to go.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? And I know we've had the conversation before about what's haunted. Is it the house? Is it a place? Or is it the person? And it's funny how people always assume that it is the place. Like, my response to that, I don't think would necessarily be, oh, fuck, we need to get out of the house. It would probably be, oh, shit. Yeah, granddaughter's fucked. Definitely going to need to sort that out. I think I would always assume, personally, I would always assume person as opposed to place. But
yeah,
it's interesting that they've just decided it's got to be the place. We've got to get out and it'll be fine. But yeah, I'd definitely
everyone
be freaking the fuck out if I saw someone levitating. Yeah. Also, my first response to that wouldn't be, oh, we should surround them and pray. It would be, well, just grab her and pull her down. Like, you know, just get back in bed, you little shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe that's not the right thing to do. I don't know. fucking levitating again, kids. Nightmare. But yeah, maybe that's not the correct way of dealing with things.
You've been so badly behaved and now you're levitating above the bed. You're grounded. Fucking attention seeker. Like, honestly. Yeah.
No
terrible.
Pocket money for a month. Fucking levitating. What you like?
I don't know if I would run away from the house. I think I'll probably be... I think if I saw that, I'd just be like, I don't know how to react to this. I don't know what to do. No. I don't know what... I don't know. Whereas Amy would very much see this and go, right, grab me an old priest, a young priest, some holy water, some beads. We're gonna sort this out. We're gonna bring her down to the...
See, the thing is, I think I would... I probably would do that. I probably would be a bit like, okay, let's just sort this out. But I'd approach it to much the same way I do as most things in my life, which was like, oh, fucking hell, another thing to deal with. Great. Do you know, I've only just made that bed. Like, I've got shopping to do today. Work's really busy, and now you fucking want to get possessed. Brilliant. So considerate of you, you dick. I'd just be annoyed, and I feel like my annoyance is what would drive the demons away. Or I would hope, anyway.
Yeah, that's just, Demas was just like, "Oh fuck, we pissed Amy off. I think we've gone too far."
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't realize you had so much on. We'll pop off. Don't worry about it.
Oh dear. So Campbell would claim to told her daughter Latoya, "quote, we need help. We need to talk to someone who knows how to deal with it." And although Campbell and Ammons claim not to be precisely sure what it was, they did think that it was of the supernatural kind. So help would prove to be quite hard to find for the family. Most churches either didn't listen or didn't take them seriously. However, after listening to the family and visiting the house, one did suggest that they might have spirits in the house, really, and recommended that they clean the property with bleach and ammonia and draw oil crosses on all the doors and the windows. Additionally, two clairvoyants would advise the family to move after informing them that the rented house was haunted by spirits. How many spirits? 200 spirits, to be exact. And I bet you none of them were helping with the rent or the bills or the cleaning.
200?
That's a lot of spirits. 200.
That's a bit much, isn't it? That's just excessive. I notice how no one just tries accepting the demons. No one, you know, just says, do you know what, spirits? Cool. Let's just share the place. Let's just chill out together. They're always like, no, we must expel the spirits. We must get rid of them. We must get the church involved. Like, they're going to fucking do anything. Like, you know, they're always trying to get rid. Why don't you just, you know, make them a cup of tea, have a chat, just see what's going on, you know, get the Ouija board out. Let's communicate, you know. Good relationships are built on communication. Let's work it out between us and the spirits. And maybe we can just make this fucking work.
Maybe people can learn to coexist with the demons. Like, I've now got a planchette from a Ouija board tattooed on my finger. So I'm vibing with the spirits now. I'm like, you know what? Let's have some fun.
Equal opportunities for spirits. Yeah. That's what I say.
Are we going to have to make another appreciation society, but for demons as well as cryptids?
I really can't. I've got so much on my plate right now. You're just adding extra to it, I'm afraid.
So in the meantime, the Ammons family's anxieties reached new heights as the dark entity that possessed their house persisted in terrifying them. Whispering phrases like, quote, I will kill you, and quote, it's time to die. The kids would start talking in low whispers. When they spoke, their eyes would bulge and their mouths would curl up into unnatural grins. Ammons herself would also begin to feel feverish and lightheaded, almost like she didn't have control over her own body, as if there was maybe a little cheeky possession going on.
As if she had music in her. And needed to get a groove thing on.
As if she had the music in her.
Maybe that's all she needs. Just, you know, a good disco.
Maybe. She just needs to boogie a little bit. Boogie with the demons. And you know, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. Have a little dance.
Get a bit funky. Move on.
The youngest son, who was 7 years old at the time, would sit in a closet. Talking to a boy that no one else could see. Campbell would add that the seven-year-old had once flew out of the bathroom as if thrown by an unseen force. Later, the 12-year-old daughter of the family would report to mental health experts that she occasionally had the sensation of being choked and restrained. She also stated that she heard a voice say that she'd never see her family again and wouldn't live another 20 minutes.
Well, that's specific, isn't
that's
it?
That's a bit hardcore. That's
20 minutes.
Hardcore, I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
shit,
why 20?
You know, finish cooking this dinner. Like, that's really, right. That's a short amount of time. At least in the
that's
ring,
not even...
when, you know, you got that phone call in the ring, they gave you a week.
Oh, you got 7 days.
You got 7 days, but fucking 20 minutes.
Unfortunately,
what am I supposed to
do with that? Unfortunately, she only got 20 minutes. So, it wasn't long until doctors and... police would start getting involved. They weren't fully prepared for what they would experience. On that note, I think now is a good time to take a wee little break. Amy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I gave up on the explainable thing. So I'll think of some explanation.
Yeah, maybe things.
Break.
Okay. So cool. While Amy thinks of some explanations, we will take a wee break and we will see you back here in just a few moments.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Leo.
I love horror movies.
So do I.
I don't love that I have nobody to talk about them with.
It sucks. You see something great, you tell your friends to go see it, and they don't have the time because they have kids and a job.
They have a life.
Boring.
I know.
Imagine if there was a podcast where you could make your buddy watch a horror movie and under threat of death they had to, and then you got to talk about it, crack jokes, things like that.
That sounds wonderful.
What if we did it?
We could do it.
Under threat of death.
Yes, so much death, so much threat.
I love it. We could call it Spoils of Horror.
Great name.
And guess what?
What?
We've been doing it for 3 months.
What?
It's crazy. We're on all major podcasting platforms.
You can search Spoils of Horror on all social medias.
Come check us out, hang out with us, have a good time.
Join us.
If you dare.
Dun dun dun.
Dark Adaptation Podcast is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Brianna, and our producer Dyson joins me while working the knobs. Our show explores all things macabre and mysterious. We're talking dark history, true crime, haunted places, you name it. While we typically dive into lesser-known stories, we do cover well-known ones too. And for those more, let's say, popular cases, we deliver so much information you're guaranteed to learn something new. And sometimes we're even joined by our guest host, Steph, who brings a cosmic twist to the show. Our other guest host, Paige joins us every other month to bring us into the world of cryptids and folklore. Tune in every Monday for a new episode full of intrigue and entertainment. Dark Adaptation Podcast is available wherever you stream your favorite podcasts. And next Monday, we'll catch you on the dark side.
Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode, where we're getting a little bit spooky, which we haven't done in a while. Amy, so far, what do you think of the...
Sorry.
She's summoning the demons.
Sorry, audio listeners.
The end of this episode is going to be a bit wild. What out of everything that you've heard in part one, what do you think of the quote demon house supposedly of Gary, Indiana? Do you think it is a I don't want to ask if you think it's genuine just yet, but you know, do you think that there could be something paranormal going on? You think it's a bit weird?
I think everything. I'm legit going to put this on a t-shirt. Like, for all the people that are scared of the stories in the dark, I'm going to put this on a t-shirt to remind you that it's fine. Think everything I have heard thus far is explainable.
Okay.
some of it not by me. Some of it, like the levitating thing. If they genuinely saw it, because that is in question. But if they genuinely saw it, then I personally can't explain. But I think there are probably others that could. But in terms of like the flyers, the footprints, obviously we went over that. I feel like I've given what I hope is a good enough explanation that people go, oh yeah, she's right. And then some of the other stuff, like the voices, the talking to the kid in the closet, I think you could maybe just put down to children being children. And sometimes some of the games that children play are just fucking creepy and it's just a bit weird. And particularly if, like, with the weird voices and the things that they say, kids don't always differentiate between the types of attention. Like, if they're getting attention and it's positive, it's great, they love it. If they're getting attention and it's negative, they're still getting attention, so they probably still love it. So if they've said once or twice, oh, you know, you're going to die soon or whatever, and their mum has been freaked out and scared by it, then they've probably found it quite funny, so they've done it again. And you can do voices, you know, you can do all of this stuff. So yeah, I think it's explainable. Do I think it's probably more than just that? Maybe. Yeah, it's the levitating thing. There's any time we do a haunting, there's always one thing that I get hung up on that I can't, either can't explain myself or no one I know can explain. And if that kid was genuinely levitating that far off the bed, and multiple people saw it, I can't explain. And that's the part that I'm going to be a bit like, oh, okay, well, that's, you know, there's an unanswered question there, and I don't. We all know that I don't like those. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting so far. I won't go into how I view it just yet. I'll save that to the end.
Okay.
So, in desperation, at this point, the family would go to their physician, Dr. Jeffrey Onyekiwu, I think. April the 9th, 2012. The physician would observe the children. The physician would observe the children's quote delusional actions, such as their quiet voices and unsettling remarks. Quotes, 20 years and I've never heard anything like that in my life, he would tell to the Indianapolis Star. I was scared myself when I walked into the room, end quote. The children continue to show signs of demonic possession. A Department of Child Safety report states that medical personnel saw LaToya's youngest son fly into the air and then crash into a wall without anyone getting to touch him. The boy would also reportedly walk up a wall and do a flip over his grandmother. Upon seeing these occurrences, a DCS caseworker and a nurse would become so unsettled that they would run out of the room. I'm not going to lie. I'm picturing this boy sort of just turning to his grandmother and being like, "Watch this!" And then he just runs up a wall and flips over her and lands all cool. It's probably not what I should be picturing. It's probably actually quite terrifying, but I don't know. When I read that, I was like,
"Yeah."
It's just like, look at this.
See, again, if you saw a kid do that and you'd never seen him do it before, pretty freaky, pretty crazy. But then also, people do that. Like, it can be done. You know, hardcore parkour and all that. So
hardcore parkour.
Hey, granny, check one us of out. The like, yeah, don't know.
One of the nurses was like, "Do a flip," and he was like, "I'll do a flip over grandma."
Yeah, let's freak this old mare out.
Oh,
yeah, I mean,
dear.
It's probably unlikely that he was able to do it just freely with no practice, but it can be done. People can do the whole running up wall and then flipping thing. It does happen. So that one's not got me. Unexplainable.
So the police would notice several strange... I completely skipped a bullet point there. Following LaToya Ammons and her children's separation, so they were taken away from LaToya, the DCS requested the Hammond Police Department visit the quote demon house so they could go take a little look around. The police would state that they noticed several strange happenings when they were inside with Rosa Campbell. According to their report, the two Hammond police officers experienced radio malfunctions, captured the presence of a white smoky apparition, and seemed to record a ghostly voice saying, quote, "Hey." On a follow-up visit, they would also see an odd oily liquid oozing from the blinds as well. If you... we'll get to the ghostly voice. But if you... Okay. I would send you the photo, but if you Google Ammon family or Ammon's, you know, or demon house or something, you can see a photo of the supposed apparition. It should be on like a Google image show. So what have you seen?
Oh God, that's like the classic, holy shit, there's an apparition picture.
Yeah. It is.
Oh. Meh. Okay, I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of people who maybe aren't as well-versed in ghost stories as we are that would see that picture and freak the fuck out. But when you've read a fair few and you've taken an interest and you've done your research, you know that that's maybe not. It's not. It's just not. And as for the ghostly voice... You have summoned, presuming that all of this is real, which again, I'm skeptical about. But as a ghost or an entity, you have spent potentially decades summoning the energy to communicate something to the living. And your first choice is hey.
Yeah, so it's an odd... It's an odd one to go with, isn't it?
Just don't waste it. Like, you just, you know, say what you need to say. If you want to tell them that they're going to die in 20 minutes, valid. Thank you, entity, for summoning your, you know, your energy to tell me that. But to just say, hey, just don't bother. You know, hello, you all right? They can't even respond. So, yeah, that's the part that I'm a bit like, yeah, okay, I'm not sure.
That would be the most, like, this a haunted house in Britain, and that's the EVP they get. Hello, you all right?
All right. I mean,
do you want to put the kettle on, love?
We don't ever talk about the fact that ghosts very rarely have accents. But,
You know. No, we don't. We don't.
Hey. Okay, hi. Anything else? What news do you bring from the other side, from the beyond? just hey. Just how many wives did it have? Because that's how you determine how badly they wanted to fuck.
We don't know how it was said. I was going to say maybe the ghost was like, you know, saw Mama Campbell and it was like, hey.
This is it. Like, maybe, was it, you know, was it hey or was it hey? There's a very big difference.
Yes.
I've used hey, Rosa. Many times.
I see you standing there, Rosa. Hey. Hey.
Girl.
Dad ass, though.
Yeah, exactly. That you could communicate so much more than just hey. But that's what you've gone with, which is very upsetting.
Yeah. But like you said, like, what... What can you add to that? Like, the ghost's like, hey, and you're just like, you're right? Anything else? And then the ghost is like, the ghost is just like, nah.
I'm so sorry. Hey. I spent 10 years summoning the energy to say hey. I've got nothing else. I didn't realise there'd be follow-up questions.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for the follow-up question. I just thought I would say hey and you would run away. Like, I wasn't expecting, a full... A full conversation. Do you reckon the ghost has got like proper bad social anxiety? And when she responded, it was just like, oh shit. What do I do? Oh no.
Yeah. It's basically the ghost equivalent of this could have been an email.
Yeah, pretty much. pretty much. So Michael Maginot, or Maginot, I don't know if it's sort of spelt in the way that the T is silent. I'm not sure, to be honest. But Michael Maginot, or Maginot, a local priest, would learn about the situation and would make the decision to look into it further himself. He would conduct a minor exorcism on Latoya Ammons in front of two police officers and a DCS case manager after writing a request to a bishop to carry out the exorcism. The DCS case managers would say to the Indianapolis Star, quote, "We felt like someone was in the room with you, someone breathing down your neck," end quote. Latoya Ammons would undergo three separate exorcisms by Maginot. Ammons would resume feeling normal after the third exorcism and after one of Maginot's associates burnt a piece of paper that had the demon's name on it that was possessing him. So the demon has been cleansed out of Latoya Ammons. There was nothing about the demon's name. It's probably some like stereotypical one, like Beelzebub, or I don't know, some other typical demon name.
Yeah. Because that's what my tattoo is. So I have this tattoo. Dom, I'm showing it to you on the camera and people of YouTube.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. And that's the demonic sigil for Amy, who is the 58th demon in the Lesser Book of Solomon. So there are some like, you know, some lesser known demons, and I was just wondering if it was me.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe Amy was possessing Latoya Ammons. Who knows?
I wasn't, because if I was genuinely possessing someone and I'd summoned all of my energy to say something, it wouldn't be fucking hey. That's how you know.
Yeah, 100%. So I don't know the name. Do you reckon it was like some... The demon was called like Larry or something. Dave.
Fucking hell, Larry. Got back to Bob. Hell and the others were just like, what have we told you? Stop pissing about and do something with your life. Although I do also understand why people don't publish the names of the demons, because obviously if you do believe them, then it's easier to summon them if you know their names. So it's understandable. But Yeah.
Yeah.
I also quite like the differentiation between a major and minor exorcism. Like,
yeah,
at what point does it become major?
That's a very good point. I don't
know
what the
difference is. How
many
priests do you need for a minor? Whoa, wait, no, don't answer that.
That is a setup for a joke, but we won't.
yeah. From what I hear, only one, and he can do a whole choir. So, don't answer that question. But, like, you know, at what point does it become a major exorcism? You know, what does she have to do for them to go, oh, shit, we're not equipped for this.
Yeah,
we're going to
have
to come back later.
Yeah. When you're like, what's the difference between a minor and major exorcism? I was like, for a minor one, you need an old priest and a young priest. And I was like, nope, that doesn't sound any better than...
than what I said. Which was not good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so definitely, yeah. It's interesting. I like how they've definitely gone demonic as well. Like they've given up the idea that it's just a spirit. Like this is 100%, it's a demon. End of story.
Yeah. 100% a demon. Unfortunately, don't know what the difference between a minor and a major exorcism is. Also don't know what the demon was called. I hope it was something cool, because if I got possessed by a demon and it was called like Mercedes, I would be very upset. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
A Porsche or, you know, something like that. I would want something cool.
Yeah. I want
personally.
One of the sexier ones. Like,
there's
obviously just levels of demon. And if you could, to be honest, I think that's one of the ways you could probably guess if someone was faking it. Because if they were like, oh, you're possessed by a demon. Who are you possessed by? And they're like, Lucifer. He's a fucking busy man. He's not got time to be going around possessing people. Don't fucking bullshit me. All right. I know it's not Lucifer. So why don't you fuck off and waste someone else's time? Whereas if they come along and say, oh, I'm being possessed by, I don't know. I can't think of any good demon names right now. Like,
Clarissa.
Steve. Then I'd be like, oh, I've not heard of that demon. Oh, okay. Oh, this could be legit. Like, this could be a bored demon that's just thought, you know, I'm going to go possess someone for a little while. Okay, I'm on board. But you can't just go straight to big unless you're actually the Pope. Unless you're the Pope and you're possessed, and then you say I've been possessed by Lucifer, I'd be like, okay, no, that's worthwhile. That would be worth his time. So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I could just imagine you as a priest. That's a very weird way to start a sentence. So
people usually imagine me as a nun, to be honest, but we'll take it.
Yeah. Priest or nun, either or.
Either way, you're getting on your knees.
2024. Either way. But I can just imagine you like at an exorcism and like you're like to the possessed person, like, tell me the demon's name, and it's like Lucifer, and I can just picture you being like, Lucifer ain't got time to possess your ass. Bullshit me.
Lucifer, bullshit, get out. And then it
Lucifer's
turns out to be real and I'm just there like, I'm such a huge fan. Love your work. Yeah, take him. I don't care. Do what you want with that guy. Just, you know that I love you.
LaToya, now free of her demon, would regain custody of her three children in November 2012, when she and Campbell would relocate to Indianapolis. And recollections of the, quote, demon house were gladly banished. So what happened to the house, I hear you ask? What happened to the house with 200 demons? Like, who in their right mind would want to move in? Except, like, parents from horror movies, because... Amy. I can just picture, like, this house in, like, one of those memes where it's, like, horror families. Like, 100 people died in this house. And then, like, horror families are like, yes, we're in. This is a brilliant place to raise a family.
Take my money.
So yeah, what happened to the house, the demon house? Douchebag Bagans, Zach Bagans, a paranormal investigator. All the Zach Bagan stands have immediately turned off this episode. They're like, no, don't disrespect Zach.
We're out.
You know, because Zach Bagans isn't an egotistical arsehole, but that's just my opinion. So Zach would later...
But I defer to the opinion of the podcast. So Zach Bagans, you're a twat.
So Zach would later purchase the house, because of course he would. He would demolish it in 2016, but he saved pieces of the house's basement for his Las Vegas museum. I think he's got like a museum in Las Vegas, which is dedicated to like the paranormal and that's...
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste my breath on it. So obviously, while this case has its believers, there are also plenty of people that are skeptical of the Demon House and the events that supposedly transpired in the house. One of those, funny enough, was the family's physician. I'm not going to butcher his surname, to be honest. I'm not going to embarrass myself and try and say it. He didn't witness any of the supposed paranormal incidents, and would note, quote, hallucinations and, quote, delusions of ghosts in home, in his medical notes. A complaint was made against Ammons in 2009 due to the history of irregular school attendance, for her children. And she would attribute the persistent irregular attendance of her children to alleged demonic activities in 2012. Skeptical investigator Joe Nickel claimed that Charles Austin, the chief of police, was, quote, an adamant believer in the supernatural, including ghosts. Nickel reported that the photo published by the Indianapolis Star and captioned, quote, photo by Hammond Police, was, according to the Hammond Police Chief, not an official photo and was not taken by Hammond police authorities. After speaking with several witnesses, Nickel would come to the conclusion that there were a variety of non-supernatural explanations for the purportedly supernatural occurrences. So the landlord of the property, Charles Reed, would state that he never experienced any paranormal events in the home. His previous tenants also said that they had never experienced anything quite like what the Ammons family experienced or any paranormal activity in general. Ammons was reportedly behind on rent at the time of the incidents and had taken advantage of the alleged paranormal activity to get out paying, reportedly. No paranormal activity was reported by the tenant who moved into the house following the Ammons family leaving the home. Oh my God, I can't pronounce it. Amy, help me out. My tongue is tied.
I can't see what you're trying to read. Psychologists.
That's the one. That's the one. Psychologists. There we go.
Psychologists, okay.
I was pronouncing it like psychologists, and I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, psychologists.
Interviewed the kids, the psychologists. The psychologists interviewed the kids, and after gathering information, a number of experts said that, quote, the children were acting deceptively and in accordance with their mother's beliefs. Psychotherapist. I don't know why I nailed that and I couldn't actually
nail
that one's
fine,
psychologist.
Obviously.
Yeah. Tracy Wright observed that when the youngest son was challenged or given, quote, questions that he did not wish to answer, he, quote, acted possessed. However,
preach.
Regardless of if, yeah, that's how, when I get a question I don't wish to answer, that's exactly how I act. I get the possession on. Yeah. however, regardless of if you believe this was a genuine haunting and possession or not, The quote demon house and the property it stood on hold little nostalgia for Latoya Ammons and her family, who obviously, unsurprisingly, have absolutely no intention of visiting it. This is going to be a controversial statement. I'm hold your tongue, Amy, at least until I finish it. Additionally, Ammons would say that God, not psychologists, was the one who solved her problems. Quote, I know. quote, Amy is seething.
No, I'm
absolutely
good. I'm good.
Seething.
Just keep going.
quote, when you hear something like this, don't assume it's not real because I've lived it. I know it's real, end quote. And that's the case of the so-called Demon House of Gary, Indiana. Amy, what do you think? Do you think that this was a genuine case of the paranormal? Do you think that it wasn't? Do you think that it may be, you know, a bit from column A and a bit from column B? What are you thinking?
Okay. I'm going to caveat what I'm about to say with a statement. That statement being,
okay,
I am skeptic 100%. Like, I want the explanation of these things. However, I will always be open to the experience of having something paranormal happen to me. I want to be proved wrong. I want something to prove to me that there is existence of a life after death, or demons, or something. I want that to be real, and I want the experience that proves that to me. However, I do call bullshit on this.
Okay.
Because even if some of the physical things that happened were real, they can be explained. I think these things have a tendency to escalate. So one strange thing could happen. Let's take, for example, that first strange thing being the flies. And having that happen is fucking weird. Like, I'm literally someone that has experienced their home being infested with flies for a certain amount of time. And it's freaky. And if you read into it and you look at the things that flies represent, and you know, the like the bad omens that surround it, then suddenly all of these things can start to pile up. And if you're hearing weird noises at night that sound like footsteps, you connect them in your brain to make it seem like a bigger thing than it is, when actually they're just two completely separate things that are completely explainable. I think as soon as you said about the rent and her being behind on it, and suddenly there was this, you know, this story of the possession and the kids acting possessed and the mum acting possessed, then all of a sudden it all makes sense. What I said at the start, not at the start, sorry, when we came back after the break, about the levitation being the part that I can't explain, that was on the caveat that it had actually happened. Now I don't believe that it did. I believe that the mother and Rosa they're the same person, that Latoya and Rosa both said that in order to make that real. And it maybe didn't happen. It maybe just wasn't the case. So all of these things just built up enough to make it seem like a story was there when it wasn't. Which is a difficult thing to say, because I've committed now to, okay, this story is bullshit from a family that were in trouble. But I did it in the break, but I'll do it again now for the listeners. I compared this case to the Enfield haunting, which is incredibly similar. You know, there's the element of possession. There's even the family dynamic was very similar. It was a very similar setup. And strange things were happening. There were noises in the house. Like, a lot of odd stuff happened there too. The difference with that, why I'm more inclined to believe them than I would be the Ammons family, is because they had no motive to be haunted. You know, they didn't benefit financially from it. If anything, they suffered financially from it. They weren't behind on their rent. There was nothing to be gained and everything to be lost from them making up that story. So I'm more inclined to believe them. Do I think it was real? No, I still probably don't. I think there was maybe a bit of delusion combined with a lot of family backing each other up in both cases. But if you pinned me down and said, which one of these two stories do you believe? I would say I believe the Enfield haunting as opposed to this one, because this one has that financial element that would make people want to force it to be real. So yeah, and maybe that is just me being skeptical. And if I went into these types of stories with a non-skeptical brain, maybe I'd be more inclined to believe it. But as someone that doesn't, I can see why it would be beneficial for people to think that the house was possessed.
No, that's fair. And you know, if it is true that Latoya was behind on her rent, obviously I can't confirm that, you know, that is the case. You know, it was just something that I think when Joe Nickell was, you know, talking to people, that was something that came out. But obviously if that is the case, then there is a financial motive. You know, similarly to the Amityville haunting, the Lutz family were in quite severe debt. So them making a story of a haunted house, then turning that into a book, which they would get financial gain from, you know,
the movie rights, yeah,
and a movie, you know, and all of this stuff. And it's one of the reasons why I don't particularly believe the Amityville house. And you know, like Amy, I'm quite skeptical. I think we both are of the thinking of, we would love to experience something paranormal that convinces us. We just haven't experienced it yet. I've experienced something strange, but will I label that as paranormal? No, it's just a bit odd. So, yeah, it with this one, it's difficult, because if the financial trouble, you know, is genuine and that is true, then that sort of throws a spanner into the works of this being a genuine case of the paranormal. You know, that, you know, when it comes, you know, for example, the kid talking to someone that only he can see, kids have imaginary friends. He was 7 years old. You know, I had an imaginary friend at 7. Hell, maybe if I even have an imaginary friend at 32. I'm joking, I don't, because that would just be weird. But you can easily explain that. You could explain away the flies. So as for if I think this is genuine, I think because I'm a skeptic first, I would probably go no. But that's because I'm, you know, if you're a believer in the paranormal, you would look at this and you would go, yeah, absolutely, it was true. So it very much depends on your view on this. Or you could even be someone who looks at this and goes, some of this probably did happen, some of this probably didn't happen, or it was something very minor that turned into, oh, the daughter levitated above the bed. So yeah, it's very much comes down to your personal belief system. But at the end of the day, as me and Amy say, regardless of if we're believers in the paranormal or not, we both love a spooky story. And it's why, even though we're quite skeptical by nature, I would say that, you know, we've both got quite a keen interest in the paranormal, and we love, you know, we love stories of haunted houses, and we love stories of possession and all of that stuff. So anyway, that's my convoluted wrap up out the way. Amy, would you like to see us out for this week?
Absolutely, I would. But before I do, I'm going to mention two things. Number one is that we have spoken today. No, you're fine. It wasn't you. You're good. You're off the hook. Oh. Put your feet up. Chill. Enjoy the end of the episode. You're good. Don't worry about it. Number one is that we have mentioned both the Amityville haunting and the Enfield House haunting. And we have done episodes on both of those. So if you don't know about them and you want to learn more,
yes,
go back, find those episodes. I think they're both on YouTube. Dom, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know about the Enfield haunting.
I think it is. The Enfield haunting was one of my very, very, very early episodes.
Okay. So that went they're both out
Amityville
there.
Amityville is.
Go find them. Go, read up and you'll know exactly what we were talking about. And, you know, you can tell us your opinions on whether or not you think any of them are real.
Yes.
Secondly, and I'm not 100% sure that one of these three co-hosts deserves this shout out, but I'm going to give it anyway because the other two probably do. We are skeptics here at Horror House. And, you know, we're entitled to be. We're allowed to be. That's absolutely fine. But when Ready at Touching mentioned the second best podcast out there, that is their other podcast. So Reggie, Rooney and Amy do another podcast called Synchronicities, where they go and do paranormal investigation, basically, in places that have had rumours of hauntings. And they very much mm-hmm. are believers and do believe that... you know, these sorts of things are genuine and look for proof of that. So if you're someone that also believes that or if you're a skeptic like us and want to be proved wrong, go give their other podcast Synchronicities a listen and hopefully they can convince you. Not that they've convinced me just yet. I still need to experience something myself.
Well, that's it. Definitely listen to Synchronicities after you've listened to this one, because... you know, why would you not want to listen to two skeptics talk about the paranormal? And then you can go and listen to two believers or three believers talk about the paranormal.
Exactly that. Well, I think it's actually two believers and one skeptic, but, you know, whatever, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
They're doing actual genuine investigation, whereas we just offer opinions that are probably not backed up by anything, if we're being honest. but yeah, go give them a listen and give them some support.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You. Again, so, so, so much for listening to this episode, 101. If you want to support us, there are many, many ways that you can do so. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, ring the bell on YouTube, on your podcast app of choice. Give us a like, leave us a comment, Q&A, your fucking ass off if you want to, because we'd appreciate it. Give us a follow on all the socials and say hello. Tell us what you think about this case. If you think that it was genuine, if you think that they were bullshitters like I do, then let us know, because we want to hear from you and your input is greatly appreciated. Do whatever you need to do to get through the week, and thank you for making listening to us a part of that. Until next time,
absolutely
stay the fuck spooky.
Yes, a very apt this week. Stay very, very spooky.
I want to be possessed.
You want to be possessed?
Yeah. Every time I hear about someone getting possessed,
why would you want to be possessed?
Like, when is it my turn?
You're getting FOMO from not being possessed.
I want to be possessed. It'd be fun. If I get possessed now, I'm going to be like, oh.
Yeah. If you got possessed, I'd want it to be from like Larry the Plumber. Oh, Larry.
It's me, Larry.